We are in our third message in April. We're doing a Come Home series. Come home. Forgiveness is a coming home time. So our theme, Kaylee, you going to go ahead and take care of that? There we go. So our theme has been, life takes you to unexpected places, forgiveness brings you home. Anybody need to come home through forgiveness? I do. We all do at certain times in life. This month, we've focused on what God has done to bring forgiveness to everyone. Everyone who would accept it. It's been true in my life, and perhaps you've said to yourself, receiving forgiveness from God is hard because you know how unworthy you are, how much history you have of doing dumb things, poor choices. Pick me. Forgiveness, however, isn't determined by the degree of your badness, praise God. It is determined by the depth of God's love for you. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. This is good stuff. Let me say it again. Forgiveness, however, isn't determined by your badness. Anybody done anything bad? Raise your hand. But by the depth of God's love for you. And God's love for you goes way beyond the ability of human love. I can love people. I like to love people. I'm a people guy. But you know what? Everybody has a place where they kind of go, oh, you know what? That's enough. I've had enough. And we transfer that kind of human experience to God, and we say, he's like that too. It's called projection. I'm projecting onto him what I believe about myself. And I'll say, someday God's going to say, that's enough. I've just had it. The depth of God's love for you goes beyond the ability of human love. Amen? That's good stuff. Take that home with you today. Here's what love does. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to do what? Say it with me, to bring you to God. That's the purpose of forgiveness, is to bring you to your Father in heaven. He has a Father's heart for you. It's a heart that goes beyond our ability to understand it. God, why have you forgiven me in the sins that I have done over and over and over? And yet here you are, forgiving me again. Wow, what a great papa you are. Here we are on Easter Sunday. We call it Resurrection Sunday here at ACC because Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. I've been reflecting on my own life regarding God's forgiveness in general and his forgiveness for me in particular. When I became a pastor, I was 29 years old, finished Bible college. I crammed 4 years of college into five. And I knew in my head, academic knowledge, I knew he loved me. But as I began teaching, first of all, in youth group, 6 years as a youth minister, teaching the kids and my staff that God loved them, I doubted that was true for me. As a pastor teaching people, God loves you. And inside me was this little voice that said, but not you, Delbert. It's questionable. That came from my growing up years. What we receive as children often stays with us into adulthood. Whether it's good and wonderful, that's great, or it's hard and difficult. I believed my failures defined my value to God, to others, and to myself. I was unsure that anyone would choose to love me all on their own choice. I had to make people love me. How? By being a people pleaser, by doing anything anybody wanted me to do. You know, my first church was 250 people. Guess how many bosses I thought I had? Whoo! That was not fun. I called it hell on earth for me. Hi, everybody. Love you so much. Jesus loves you. Scared to death that not single one of you would choose to love me, much less forgive my failings. Can anyone relate to this? Do you relate to this somewhere in your history or in your life? Maybe even today. But praise God, this is not the case anymore for Delbert Durfee. Woohoo! God has replaced my uncertainty with assurance that he is keeping me. I want you to say that. God is keeping me. God is keeping me. That's the truth. The whole New Testament. In fact, all the grace moments in God's Old Testament says the same thing. I'm keeping you. Do you know that? Your Father is keeping you. And it's not a yeah, but. My Father's keeping me. Yeah, but. You know, the thing I just did yesterday or this morning, it's not a yeah, but. God is keeping you, period. Amen? Yeah, that's good stuff. Take that home too. If you wonder if God loves you, just remember the cross on which Jesus died. His love is also revealed through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The love of God is not some ancient idea buried by time. The love of God is a time for right now. The love of God is a wonderful, wonderful, life-giving, heart-healing experience based on the knowledge of Scripture. If you don't know Scripture, you don't know if God loves you. I encourage you, open your Bibles. Read God's word. You've seen some scriptures already this morning. They are true about you. Jesus died, the righteous, for the likes of you and me, to bring you to God. Now, Christian, I'm talking to you also, because there's parts in your heart that you have not yet let God see, or another human being see, or maybe even yourself see. Things you do not want to remember, things you do not want to like, things you do not want exposed. Jesus died to set that part of your heart free. How? By bringing you to your Father. Everybody do this. This is your Father's arms around you. He's keeping you. And you know what? He knows what's in that closet that you haven't opened yet. He knows those skeletons. He knows those things you've done. He knows the places where you go, oh, man. When I think about it, the shame I feel. He goes, I know. I'm keeping you anyway. Do you hear this, child? I'm keeping you anyway. There's a great old hymn. The first two lines go like this. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. And that's what I needed. A God who could reach my lowest hell, because it seemed really low to me. Deep and dark. And God reached for me this picture that you see describes God's love for you, this reaching for you, this intent to keep you. So can we have this light turned off right here, this one right here? As soon as you figure out which one it is. There it is. There. Okay, I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'd like you to talk with those around you. What you see about this picture. Here's Jesus. Here's the lamb that strayed away once again. That's you. Okay? And just talk to among yourselves what this picture says to you about Jesus' love. Begin. What do you see? What kind of things do you see there? This is audience participation time. Anybody? The danger the shepherd is placing himself in. Say more about that. Anybody? At all cost, no matter what it takes, he's going to save the lamb. There's another clue in the picture. Do you see it? He has a shepherd's crook. He could have used that and kept himself very safe. Reach down there and get that stupid little lamb. Pull him back up. But Jesus didn't do that. Notice that he's hanging on to the rock and reaching down with his hand. Because to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, touch, connection is the most important thing. This is what love does. Amen? What else? No judgment in this. Yeah. Why are you here again, Paul? What's wrong with you? I see something else. What do you think that bird is? The bird is going to get the sheep. Protecting the sheep from the bird. Who might the bird represent? Satan. He's after you. And Jesus has got you covered. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful picture here. I'm sorry? The sheep has a calm face. I did not pick up on that. Very good. Sheep is looking up at his Savior. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, bird. Yeah. Sheep knows the Savior. Yeah. The sheep knows the Savior. Good point. He's looking up. He's receiving being rescued. If we said the bird was an angel, we could say it was a protection over Jesus and the sheep. We could say that. Jesus wants to be near. That's why he came. He came to live among us, Scripture says. Now, you might be thinking like I thought the first time I saw this picture. I thought like Paul said, I'm on this cliff again. How did I get here? I've been here so many times. Jesus surely is tired of coming to get me. That's not the case. Again, let's go to Scripture. Titus. And when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done. We could also replace that with the stupid things we have done. But because of his mercy. We need to focus on that word for a moment. You know what mercy means? Mercy says this, I don't care how or why you are here again. I am here for you. Now we're touching on love that goes beyond human understanding, because you and I all have a gag limit somewhere, don't we? And God's love goes beyond that. He has no gag limit. I don't care how you got yourself here. I will put myself in harm's way to bring you home. The cross. He put himself in harm's way to bring you home. Life will take you unexpected places, but forgiveness brings you home. What is God's purpose for forgiving you? This is what love does. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Let me read that for you. You're going to recognize this. Recognize this verse. 1 Corinthians 13. Thank you, Mike. First Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Did you hear that? God's love keeps no record of wrongs. I will remember their sins no more. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Some of you may have had this passage in your wedding service. It's used there a lot. Paul wrote how love works. Listen to these words that are often used in wedding vows. Here they are. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not easily angered. It does not keep a record of wrongs. I have been guilty of saying, I remember when you. Keeping record of wrongs. God does not do that. Thank you, God, for being that kind of papa. For God, forgiveness is not something done from a distance. How do we know this? John 1:14. John 1:14 says this. Jesus came and dwelt or lived. Dwelt means I'm here to stay. I'm not visiting. I'm here to be with you. Jesus came and he dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Okay? You know what that looks like in real life? It looks like this. It looks like this. I'm here. And I'm here for you. Because I love you. I know everything you've done in your life, but I'm keeping you. You didn't know that, did you? But I'm keeping you because I choose you. What's it like to be chosen?
Awesome.
Now, live chosen. I see you. I know everything about you, and I love you. I'm keeping you. It does not matter what's in the past, because we're together now. I'm not going away. I choose you. Scripture says, you did not choose me. I chose you. What's it like to be chosen with a chosenness that will never stop, no matter what you've done? That you can't make chosenness come closer because you've been really good? Because your chosenness in Christ can't be any closer than it is right now. It's always like this. God can't come closer. We tend to think that, oh, if I just overcome this sin, if I just get better at how I use my words, then God will love me more, like me more, be closer. You have all of God that he has to give you right now. Amen. Do you know this? All of God, all of who he is, he gives to you. You can't do anything more to get more of him. Wow. Your choices in life can take you unexpected places. Have you ever asked yourself, how did I get here? Let me show you how that happens. Here you are. You're walking with Jesus. Okay, everybody do this. You're walking with Jesus. And you see something. Oh, shiny squirrel. Oh, I like that. And because it was just a small step, it was just one time. It was not a biggie, right? And then you see it again. And it's a small step. It was only two times. It's not a big deal. And over a number of those no big deals, we get to, how did I get here? Scripture says, be very careful then how you live. What that means is be very careful then of the choices you make every day. Be careful of that choice. Lay it against the cross. Is it satisfying holiness? Is it satisfying God's word? Does it please him? You know, I still struggle with my flesh. There are times when I do this myself. I'll lay my decision against the cross and in that moment say, no, I'm not doing that. And there's my problem. I made the decision about not doing it. Me. I'm not doing it. I forgot the Holy Spirit here to help me. Right? He's the guy with the boots on the ground with us. Holy Spirit, help me choose your way. And then I need to apply, and you do too, apply James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Resist. Resist. If you stay here in the midst of this temptation, you will lose. Every time. If you linger, you will lose. Flee from there. I have lingered too many times. Our sin most often comes out of a desire to be safe in whatever way we think safe looks like, in whatever way we define what safe looks like. You know what that takes us to? Poor choices, addictions, working too much, loving what I love, and not checking it against the cross. Our sin comes from hurtful things done to us and hurtful things we've done to others. What we are really doing is medicating our pain in some unhealthy way. And here's the kicker question. Jesus, if I give up my addiction, if I give up how I stay safe, will you keep me safe? Really? That's a gut level question. How will you know? There's two ways I can think of that you will know. One is Scripture tells you. The other is other people who've walked that path before you and said, yes, it is possible. Jesus will keep you safe. I've been walking that path now for 25 years. Jesus, I want to be safe your way. And I tell you what, it scares the bejeebers out of me at times to try to stay safe his way. But he's always there. He's always good. He's always with me. When we respond to things in life's worries and hurts in our own wisdom, we end up on the cliff. Your choices in life can take you unexpected places, and God's forgiveness brings you home. Come home. There's a gal, her name is Renee, a mom who had a daughter. And her daughter and her daughter's best friend, they live in Florida, went to the coast. And on the way home from a wonderful day, Renee's daughter and her best friend, they got T-boned by a 24-year-old drunk driver, killed both girls. Renee, mom, spent 8 years asking God, what do I do with this? I know what I want to do. The 24-year-old went to court. The judge sentenced him to 22 years in prison. 22 years. I'm going to leave the story there and let Renee and a guy named Matthew West finish the story. Let's watch. But it's hard to think about. We as parents say a child should never die before the parent dies. And to have a child pass away by disease is a horrible, awful thing. And to have a child taken by someone else's hand, that's pretty tough too. Could you do it? Renee took 8 years working through her grief, her anger, her bitterness. But when she did finally get to that place and say, God, your way, not my way, look what happened. Eric was set free, still in the cell, but set free. And then it turned into more concerts, testimonies. And can you imagine the audience not knowing Eric was behind stage? And Renee shares her story of forgiveness. And then here comes Eric, and he tells what it's like to be forgiven. Whew. Powerful stuff. Well, let's hear the song that took Matthew West 2 years, because in a different video I saw, he said, I got Renee's story, I read it, I put it in my guitar case and said, I can't do this. I'm a parent. This is too much for me. 2 years he sat on that. Let's hear the song. Song out of a powerful story. God's love, God's forgiveness, God's I'm keeping you is experienced through relationship. It's experienced through relationship with Him, and then the genius of Jesus creating church, where we get to say to one another, I forgive you, will you forgive me? And we practice forgiveness with one another. And when you've been forgiven of a sin, of a hurt of someone else, and they give that forgiveness to you, that's when you and I go, oh, Father, that must mean what it's like for when you give it to me. I'm experiencing it now. I have a human-to-human understanding of it, and your forgiveness goes way beyond that. God's forgiveness. It's here for you. There can be confusion around it. You might have questions. But the point today is this. God is always at work to draw you to Himself. And that you chose to come to church today and gather with people is not just, I'm going to go to church today. John 6:44, Jesus said, God is always at work to draw you to Himself. And that's happening right now. If you've never accepted Christ, that's happening right now. If you've been a Christian for 75 years, that's happening right now. God is at work drawing you home. I don't know about you, but not all of me is home yet. I've still got some pieces and places that I need to have the courage to come home. How about you? So today we're going to ask those who are coming to receive you in prayer. Would you come? The two guys in the back, Mike and Sherry. Come. Why? Simply this. Life will take you to unexpected places, and forgiveness will bring you home. Are you ready to come home? No one's going to think poorly of you if you stand up and come forward. In fact, you know what they're going to say? I wish I had the guts to do that too. You come. Let us pray over you. Let's join together in worshiping God. Forgiveness. Let's stand together as we prepare. Whatever choice you have, I don't care if it has nothing to do with today's message, you need prayer, come. We'll pray over you. The guys in the back, Mike and Sherry here. Let's sing.